Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Shandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Church is more than just a movie theater and lights and instruments, but the church is in Jesus' own words. We went to the New Testament and found out the first time the word church is used, and the first person to use that word was Jesus, and we talked about how the church is ecclesia, the word used in the New Testament, which is an assembly of citizens. And it's interesting how Jesus didn't use the word theosos, which is would have been the Greek word that they would have used for religious assembly. Jesus didn't use language that would indicate that church is a religious gathering or religious meeting, but rather he used language that indicates that the church is a group of people who exist and live in the real world. So the church is us. We are the church. And the only prerequisite to belonging to the church and to coming in and being a part of it is that you believe Jesus. It's that simple. And so last week we talked about the idea that church is a place where it's open for everyone to come in. And then once you're in, the church is a place where we want to get you out. Get out into the real world. Everyone's welcome. But then once you're in, man, get out. The church exists and lives in the real world. And so today I wanted to kind of expand on that a little bit because, you know, if the church is a place where everyone is welcome to come in, if the church is a place that everyone is welcome to belong and come be a part of it, then there's a big question we got to ask. And that question is this: why have so many of us had a crappy experience at a church before? You know what? Let me just take a poll. Let's just raise your hand real quick. If it's you, if you've ever had a bad experience at a church before, raise your hand. Anybody? So here's what I love. Some of you guys like looked around and you're like, is this okay? I mean, can I do this? Because my bad experience was last week. Some of you guys are like, yeah, I've had a bad experience, and I want to fist fight somebody right now over it. We've all had some of those experiences in church life that have given us maybe a bad taste in our mouth. There was a time, an experience that Terry and I had in church. Now, just so you know, Terry and I grew up in church. I was Charlie Church growing up. I was there the old school way where you're there every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. My mom was a choir director. My dad was a deacon. So no joke, if the doors were open, I was there. And I was usually playing hide and seek in some room somewhere. That's just was our life. We grew up in church. And so having grown up in church, church was always something that we did. It was always kind of important to us. And so there was a point that Terry and I moved to Evansville, Indiana, because I was pursuing a career in music, and the guys in my band lived in Kentucky. I didn't want to live in Kentucky, so the closest I could live in was Evansville, Indiana, which is right across the river from Kentucky. If you're from Kentucky, please don't judge me. It was just a southern thing. But so we moved to Evansville, Indiana, and we were looking for a church to get connected in. And we'd been connected to a church that we loved, we totally believed in, we were just passionate about. And getting to a new city where there's new churches, a new place, was tough. And so we spent, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks just going from church to church to church. And so first we tried a church that was, you know, denominationally similar to what we had come from. And I don't know, it just wasn't a good fit. We didn't really love it. So then we're asking people what church they go to, and we're going to churches that people are recommending. Oh, we go to this, you're going to love it, you need to check this out. You know, we went to small churches because maybe we can get connected there. We went to big churches because maybe the experience was awesome. And we could not find a church. And there's this one church experience. Now, I'm going to describe this to you. Maybe for you, this is like, oh, well, that's just like my home church growing up, and I loved it. Okay, I'm going to apologize in advance, but I want to tell you about this bad church experience that we had. So we walked into this place, and we come in the front doors, and we did what anyone going to church for the first time does, and that's what? You come late, because you want to be able to walk right in the door. Because if you're early, you sit down in the seat, and what happens? People come talk to you. And we didn't want anybody talking to us. So we came in like right when service started. You know, the music has already, you know, it's begun. And so we walk in the lobby, and there's nobody there. It was just a ghost town. And so we're looking at each other because you don't know where to go. It's like walking into somebody's house for the first time. Where's the bathroom? Where do I sit? You know, I don't know what to do. So we walk in. We're just kind of a little lost, a little off-putting, to use Becky's language. We weren't sure where to go. And so we found our way to the auditorium. We didn't have a program or anything like that. We just found a spot. And we opened the doors and walked in, and we just grabbed a seat towards the back. Now, again, first time in a new place, a little uncomfortable, a little unsure of ourselves. And we're sitting there, and you know, there's a couple people in front of us, around us, and you know, the music's going. Start clapping, you know, just doing that thing. Because if you're the dude whose just hands are in your pockets, then everyone looks at you and you feel weird and uncomfortable. But if you're dude singing loud so everybody can hear you, you're weird and uncomfortable. So we're just doing that bare minimum that you can do just so you don't be noticed. And we're in this first song, and it's starting to build, and the energy in the room is coming up a little bit. I'm like, you know what? Okay, this is not bad. This, you know, this music's, it's okay. Until, sitting on the edge of the row, I feel this kind of rustling happening behind me, just this thing. I don't know what it is. It's just like a breeze. Just a, you know. And so I turn and I look, and as I turn, I see these women. And the only really way to describe what they're wearing is, you know, a white onesie with a tutu around it. And these women in white onesies and tutus begin running down the aisle doing corresponding dance moves with each other. And I grab my wife's hand because I'm unsure of what to do and what's happening. And I, you know, I look and it's, this is so mean. I wasn't going to say this, but has anybody seen the movie Fantasia where the elephants come out in ballerina outfits? I'm not saying that's what they looked like. I'm just saying, have you seen that movie? So they go down the aisle. They're twirling and dancing. Some of them are waving ribbons in the air. There's a couple of them who have these big giant flags, and they are flag waving. And I'm like, what is happening? And they get to the front. And here's the thing. They've got these flags. They're in front of the stage. So these women who don't look like elephants from Fantasia in tutus are waving these flags in front of everyone who's on the stage. I can't see anything but them. And I'm grabbing my wife's hand. I'm like, babe, this is too weird for me, okay? This is not what I signed up for. And I'm really like, I'm super uncomfortable at this point. I hold my breath. I'm like, we can do this. We can make it through this. The ladies are dancing. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. But hey, I'm good. So that's the first kind of weird church thing that happened. The second thing, I don't know if this is church related as much as it was just kind of just a bad experience. And guys, if you know anything about me and anything about Compass, it's just this, that we're very real. So I'm just going to have a very real moment with you. And maybe you'll be like, dude, Chris, you're so shallow. Maybe. So we're sitting in the seat. The ladies are dancing. I'm grabbing my wife's hand very uncomfortably. And, you know, there's dudes in front of us, and they're just into it. And as we're sitting there just kind of getting through this, a smell begins to assault my nose. All I can put together is this, is that the gentleman who is sitting in front of us, he had eaten like a 12-pack of Taco Bell tacos the night before, and he decided church was the time to release them into the wild. And so it was, okay, I thought I got punched in the gut when I saw the ladies dance. I got punched in the nose with this. And guys, I'm just going to be honest. I was like, babe, we've got to go. And so I grabbed my wife's hand, and we escorted ourselves out of that building. Okay, so look, here's the thing. That was a bad church experience. You know, when there's dancers and you're not a dancing guy and there's a gassy dude in front of you, that I think that qualifies as like a time where you don't fit into church. It wasn't the right place for us. And eventually we found a place that we could fit in and it was good. But it took us some time to discover because, you know, there's things about church life that can make it so that it's a little hard to get plugged in. You've all had it. You've all been at a church where nobody talked to you. You know, you've been at a church where everyone in the lobby seemed to be best friends and know each other and be laughing and telling jokes. And, you know, and you're just kind of standing off to the side and you're, you know, maybe you do that thing where someone tells a joke and you're like, that's good, hoping that they'll bring you in. But they don't bring you in. They're like, why are you laughing, dude? You're weird. You know, maybe you've had that church experience. Oh, man, I had a friend. I wasn't even going to tell this story either. Church is good. I'm not telling these to make church bad, but I had a friend who was at a church one time, and he had a friend who was just on the wrong track, just doing bad things, and his parents had a private meeting with the pastor to say, hey, will you just pray for our son, and just because we really, you know, he's going to be at church this week, and really we want to see his life turned around and see all this stuff happens, but just will you pray for him? They told him all this stuff this kid was doing in confidence. So he comes to church, right? Pastor starts preaching. He's getting fired up. He's getting, you know, he's hitting it. He's hitting his stride, and he's talking sin this and sin that. And no joke, the dude gets up, stands on the front row of the seats, and he says, points out this kid, and he says, son, God's telling me that you got sin in your life, and you need to do something about it. And my friend was like, uh-uh, he did not just do that. There's church experiences like this that can happen to us. And even as we're sitting here, some of you guys are cataloging those things. Some of them are as shallow and lame as someone who's gassy. And some of those things are people who you have known who have hurt you deeply in church relationships. And so you know, the idea of how does everyone really belong in church? Does everyone belong in church? And how does that work? What does that look like? And so I want to start to answer those questions. And the first question I want to answer is this. How do I know that I belong in church? You know, Chris, you've been saying that church is a place where everyone belongs. You come in and you're part of it. How do I know that I belong? And how do I know that I even need church? What does that look like? Why do I need it? And so I want to read you a couple passages. And the first one is this. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23. I'm going to get a little theological on you here. And the first one says this. It says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It's made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So here's what the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Ephesians to a church in Ephesus, that's why it's called Ephesians, this is what he's telling them. He's saying, look, here's the thing. He's saying, you know, we talked about the church, the way you belong to church, the way that you are all in, is just simply say, you know what, Jesus, I just want to put my belief, my trust, my hope in you. I can't do it on my own, and I'm just going to make a decision to follow you. That's it. That's all that's required to be firmly a part of the church. And Paul, he wants to kind of elaborate this on and explain it a little bit and give a picture of what the church is. And he says this, that Jesus is the head of the church, and the church is his body. Okay, so we are the church, and Jesus is the head. So that means this, that Jesus really is he's the brains of the operation, and we are the muscle. We are the body of Christ. That's how it's described. So that's the starting point. Jesus is the head. We are the body. And we're going to spend the most of the balance of our time in Romans chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles in your mobile device, you want to turn and read along with me, that's great. Otherwise, it's on the screen. But here's what Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5 says. And this is going to begin to answer the question, how do I know that I belong in church? How do I know that I need it? Romans 12, 4, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. So, you know, we talked about the fact Jesus is the head of the church. We are his body. And Paul, he writes here in Romans again, and he's elaborating on this, and he's saying, look, the way it is with Christ's body, there's a bunch of different parts. Every part has a function, every part is different, but at the end of the day, we are all many parts of one body. We are all many parts of one collective. We watched the movie Epic last night with our kids, and there's a line from this cartoon movie. It was about these little, you know, fairy things that live in the woods. And one of the things that they talked about was that there are many leaves, but one tree. And I was like, yeah, that's it. The church is, it's many leaves, and it's one tree. We're the body of Christ. But we all come with different things. We all come with different experiences, different baggage, different talents, different, you know, different personalities. We're all different. And, you know, the Halloween season just happened, and one of the times that I think most about individuality is Halloween. Because at Halloween, that's the time where everybody, you know, you get your costume, right? And the costume you pick, it shows how individual and special you are. It shows your personality and your style. So like my kids, for example, when my kids were little, and maybe if you have little kids, this is you, they just want to be the same. You know, if one kid's like, you know, I want to be a kitty for Halloween. What do you want to be for Halloween? I want to be a kitty. Okay, what about you? Kitty. And then all of a sudden it's like, kitties. You know, everyone's kitties. In fact, I got a picture up here of my daughters. This is 3 or 4 years ago at Halloween. Two of my girls decided that they both wanted to be Hannah Montana. And so the other girls wearing the wigs are not my daughters. That's scary. No, the two cute ones, the same costume. You know, we go to Walmart and literally the exact same costume, and they're totally fine with it. Why? Because they're little. They don't care. Hannah Montana, that's us. And I'm like, please, God, don't be Hannah Montana now. I don't want my daughters twerking. Although, total side note, just unrelated to my message, my junior high daughter texted me this week, and she goes, Dad, can you twerk? I said, yes, but you'll never see it. That's not true. So when my kids are little, they all want to be the same thing, right? But this year, what's interesting is the older my kids get, the more individual they want to be. And so this year, like, everything they want to be is so crazy out of the norm. They're like, I can't even describe what it is. So Calvin, he wants to be Mega Man this year at Halloween. And I'm like, Mega Man? And he's like, yeah, he's from a video game. So I do some research. And so being Mega Man, oh, there we go. Being Mega Man is great. But Mega Man is this dude from a, hello. Hey, Tracy, we hit the button so it goes to address. Thanks. So Calvin wants to be Mega Man, which is cool, but Mega Man was a video game from 1993. And so, like, if there's a time machine you can go back to buy a costume, that'd be great. There's no Mega Man costumes that exist anywhere right now. My daughter Cameron, she's a huge Doctor Who fan. She wants to go as Doctor Who, which how many of you guys have heard of Doctor Who and could even say what he even looks like in costume? Yeah, nerds unite. Thank you. But most people don't. And then in addition to that, Doctor Who is a dude. And so I don't know how that plays. My daughter Trinity, she wants to be Barbara, who is a Viking character from a video game that they like to play. But like Barbara the Viking? Nobody knows. But the idea is this, is they're so individual. This is who they are. This is their personality. It's their character. And they want to represent those things well with who they are at Halloween. It's, you can see it when they carve pumpkins too. We carve pumpkins. And if you look at the pumpkins that we had put together and that we carved, you can see the differences in personalities. Bring that one up here too. So like, that's my son Calvin. He's posing. He's cool. So, okay, look, like right here, you got my daughter Cameron. She makes this pumpkin. It's a puppy paw. It's so cute and sweet because that's who she is. Oh, darling. And then Calvin, he is over his Minecraft one. That's Steve. Minecraft, anyone? Okay, yeah, because he's all about that. I made a creeper from Minecraft because I was... the guys needed to hang together. And then my daughter Trinity, she wanted to make this Pikmin, which is another video game. And I'm like, babe, you, how do you make a Pikmin in a pumpkin? She's like, I don't know, but I'm just going to draw it and you're going to carve it. So yeah, so that's that thing. And then of course, my wife, she has to make her pumpkin, and Terry's at the bottom is just the classic jack-o'-lantern. It's just, you know, textbook classic. And the reason our pumpkins all look like that is because everyone wants to be unique. Everyone's special. Everyone is put together different ways, and we want to present those things. We want to present who we are to the world. And in church, man, it's no different. In church, you come in, and you know, maybe early on in church life, maybe you're a pumpkin, and you know, maybe you're just like every other pumpkin, but ultimately, God's going to carve you into a different design and into a different shape because you are unique. You're special, but you know what? You're part of it. And in the same way that all my family's pumpkins can sit together and look like a unified, connected family of pumpkins, you are a carved pumpkin that belongs in the family of God. You belong because you were designed to belong. You were carved out to fit. You were carved out to belong. Okay, so what does that mean? That's why I belong. I understand. Okay, so God designed us to belong in the church. He made us to do it. We belong to each other. We benefit each other. And, you know, so what does that mean? Why do I need church? What does it look like to belong? So if I'm supposed to belong, if I'm supposed to be there, what, you know, how do I come in and how does that look like? How does my life change? How does that affect me? And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, and there's a couple things that I want to pull out. And first, we're going to go to Romans 12, 6 through 8. We're going to continue on this passage. So Paul says this, look, you're all part of one body. You're all made differently, but you all belong. We belong to each other. And then he continues, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as he's given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. The biggest passage I want to take out of this for the first point is this, is the first one, Romans 12, 6. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Okay, so here's the thing. Why do you need church? What does your life look like? What does it look like to belong? And the first thing is this. It's the word purpose. Church is about purpose. It's about discovering your purpose. It's about discovering the purpose that God created you for. See, when God designed you as a pumpkin and he began to carve out your unique shape and your unique design, when he scooped out, when he cut open your head and scooped your guts out and put a candle in you, God's plan was this, to give you purpose. God has, he has a design on your life. And the fact is that in church life, you provide what only you can provide. You provide what only you can provide. If the church is a body, then you are a body part. And you belong to it. And what you do is only something that you can do. Church, the church, and again, not the four walls and a roof, but the church, us, it's incomplete without you. I am incomplete without you. My kids are incomplete without you. You are incomplete without us. You're incomplete without the person. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, I am incomplete without you. Some of you guys are like, I was hoping to make a love connection this morning, and I think it just happened. We're incomplete. We're parts of the same body. We are body parts. And how many of you guys would say, yeah, I got body parts I would gladly get rid of? Nobody, because our body parts are important to, maybe your appendix, okay? But look, every body part is important. Okay, so the other day I was walking through the mall, and I saw a dude in a wheelchair, and he had no legs below the knees. And so I knew I was going to be talking about this message, and I was just kind of processing and thinking about it. And so I walked up to him, and I asked him what had happened. And he said that he was in a car accident, and he lost both of his legs. It was, you know, really sad. And so, you know, I thinking about this and the, you know, losing legs, what a deal that was. Like, I looked at him and I said this. I was like, you know what, man, you're probably better off without him. I doubt you even miss him that much. You probably don't need him. I didn't say that. That never happened, right? I don't know who. I saw someone up front literally, oh my goodness. No, of course I would never say that to someone. Why? Because it's insane to think that someone is better off without one of their body parts. It doesn't matter how big or how small. Our body parts are important to our body. They're important to the functioning of our body. And you are important to God's purpose and his plan and his functioning for the church. And here's something else too. You look at Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. The cool thing is this. It talks about the idea of serving. It doesn't just say that I've got a plan and a purpose for you, but it talks about how each and every single one of us was gifted with an ability, with a personality, with something that we can give back into the church, into the body of Christ that's important. And some of those things are super spiritual. You know, if you have the gift of prophecy, prophesy. If you have the gift of, you know, healing, and you know, all these things, if you're like, well, that's not me. I could never do any of that stuff. I will never stand up in front of a group of people like Chris does ever in my life. I'm just going to promise you that. Well, that's okay, because that might not be your gift. Maybe your gift is leadership. Maybe your gift is teaching. Maybe your gift is writing a check to give generously. Maybe that's the gift that God's given you, a heart to give. The fact is that it doesn't matter how you see yourself fitting into the body of Christ, and maybe you see yourself as not really having a role except to fill a seat. Can I tell you? You're wrong. God has a purpose for your life. And what's amazing about that purpose is that purpose begins to be discovered when you commit to connecting and serving and using the gift that God's given you. Okay, so here, let me clarify this a little bit. Some of you guys are like, well, how do I get connected here at Compass, Chris? How do I serve? You know, you can serve in hospitality, you can serve in food, you can hand out programs, maybe you play an instrument up here. But some of you guys are like, okay, Chris, this is great, you're talking about purpose, but how am I going to discover my purpose, you know, putting donuts on a plate and giving them to people? You know, I don't know, Chris, that I'm going to discover my purpose in life by changing a diaper in the nursery. I mean, I can serve doing that, but how is that going to uncover my purpose? This is what's so amazing about God, is that God always starts in the small things. He always does. God never looks at someone and he says, hey, you know what? Go start a church and just drop it on you. And then, hey, I'm multi-mega church pastor and there's 50,000 people who go to my church. That's not what happens. You know what God does? God says this. God says, hey, go talk to that person who needs to hear about me. Go teach that small group of kids in this class. And it's talking to those kids in their little small group. It's connecting with people over coffee and pouring water into a pitcher that God begins to uncover the things in you that you were created to do, your purpose. Maybe your purpose is you're going to go overseas and be a missionary somewhere, and you're going to lead tons of people to Christ, and you're going to start churches, and you're going to see people's lives change dramatically. But you know what? God's not going to say, hey, just sit in that chair and wait until I'm ready to send you over. God's going to say, what are you doing right now? Where are you starting? Where are you serving? Because look, even though you may not be doing the big thing that your dream is or that thing that you think your ultimate purpose is, you start in the body. Think about like a punter on a football team, right? How many minutes of a football game does a punter play? Like at the end of a guy's career, he may be able to tally up all the minutes he's ever played. And like at the end of a 10-year career, it's like 45 minutes. That's the extent of his on-field football experience. And for the rest of that time, he's riding the bench. He's doing nothing, but he's important because when he comes out, he has the opportunity to win games. And for some of you guys may be like, well, you know what? I'm just going to ride the bench until it's my time to play. And God's saying this, look, whatever your gift is, whatever I created you to do, whatever shape I carved into that pumpkin of your life, use it. Because the church is about discovering purpose. And it's about positioning yourself where God can show you the purpose that he's designed for your life. So that's the first thing. The second thing we're going to find in Romans chapter 12, 9 through 10. And this is another big one. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. And love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. So the first reason that church really exists, the first thing that you can expect to get out of belonging to church is purpose. And the second thing is this. It's love. It's love. don't just pretend to love others, but genuinely love them. Love them with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. See, the church that God designed, the church that God intends to be his body in the world, is always going to be first and foremost a church of love. It's going to be a church of love. Maybe there's electric guitars. Maybe there's banjos. You know, maybe there's big flashy lights. Maybe there's hymnals and candles. But the fact of the matter is the church that God designed is always going to be a church of love. So the question is this, is that if the church that you belong to, if the church that you are part of, if the church that you are connected to is not a church of love, then what does that mean? If love is not something that you experience in church life, what does that mean? And what does that say about the church? What does it say about you? What does it say about your relationship with God and with other people? Here's what's great about Romans chapter 12 is that, you know, we discover that the church is about, church is supposed to be a place where we discover our purpose, and church is a place where we experience and know love, where we know God's love, where we experience God's love through other people. And as we look at Romans chapter 12, here's what's so cool about this, is when the Apostle Paul points these things out, he doesn't just say, go be a part of church to experience these things. Instead, he says, go be part of church and do these things. You see, church is what you put in is what you're going to get out of church. So, okay, for example, anybody been to In-N-Out Burger in California? Dude, In-N-Out Burger is just the bomb. If you are ever on the West Coast, go to In-N-Out Burger. And I think the reason that In-N-Out Burger is so good is because they do one thing. The only thing you are going to get at In-N-Out Burger is a burger. You are not going to get chicken strips. You're not going to get macaroni and cheese. There's no kids' meal. You're not going to get a chicken sandwich. No salads. It is a burger. You can get a single patty or a double patty. You can get fries. That's it. And what's so amazing about In-N-Out Burger is their burgers are just phenomenal. And the reason their burgers are phenomenal is because it's the only thing they do. It's all they do. And in church life, I think that some of us have come to expect or look for things out of church life that are maybe a little bit out of proportion and are maybe just a little bit not what God intended. Because sometimes in church life, we can come to the church and we can look at it as a restaurant. And you know, maybe for us, you know, church is like, it's like Cheesecake Factory, you know, and like, you get a Cheesecake Factory and you open up that menu, dude, it's a dictionary. They have so many things on their menu, you can't even keep track. You just got to go through. They got Italian, they got Chinese, they got American, they got Mexican, and no joke, just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of items. And you know, I'll get some of cheesecake and I'm like, you know what, this is pretty good. It's not bad. It's not bad for cheesecake because ultimately I just want to get the cheesecake anyway. But you know, it's okay, it's not bad. And the reason it's okay and the reason it's not bad is that Cheesecake Factory is not about making Chinese food. Cheesecake Factory is about making cheesecake. And so they got all this other stuff on their menu and it's pretty good. You know, some of it might be really good, but at the end of the day, they make so much that you go in, you aren't really sure what it's all about. In-N-Out Burger, you go in, you know you're getting a great burger and you know you're getting it every time. And sometimes in church, we look at church as this thing that's supposed to provide all of these experiences for us. You know, does this, what kind of kids ministry does this church have? Does this church have a men's ministry because, or a basketball ministry because I really like basketball and I want to connect with guys playing basketball? Does this church have a ministry where we go feed the homeless? And does this church have an opportunity for my wife to sing in the choir? And you know, does this church have an addiction ministry? And like, there's all these catalogs of things that church can do and that some churches do well. But the problem is that in church life, we can begin to expect church to do so many things for us and do them well that we miss out on the fact that at the end of the day, it's about purpose and love. And church is the church to purpose and love should be the In-N-Out Burger to purpose and love. When you come into the church, when you connect with the church, those should be the things that you expect to get. That's everything. It's what you get. But you get out what you put in. You see, the church is described by Paul as this body. We're all connected. And then what does he say? He says, so go do these things. If you want to experience love in the church, if you want to experience purpose in the church, which is exactly God's plan for you and exactly God's plan for the church, what does the Apostle Paul say that you need to do? He says, serve. If you teach, teach well. If you lead, lead well. If you give, give generously. And he says, love. Love each other with all that you have. Don't just pretend, but really do it. And ultimately, it creates this beautiful picture of what the church can and should be. And look, the reality is this, is that people are going to come into this place, and they are going to be hurting. And they are going to be broken. And some of you are hurting and broken right now. And maybe this whole religious experience, this church experience for you is, you know, you're really unsure about it right now. You're unsure about Jesus and where he fits into your life. And you know what? That's okay. Because if church can become a place where everyone says this, I'm about helping people discover their purpose, and I'm about loving people with all that I am, and that's what I'm going to be about. And the person next to you says, I'm about discovering purpose and allowing people's purpose to be discovered, and I'm serving them, and I'm about loving them. And if every single person in this room said this, it's not about me, it's about you, it's about your purpose, and it's about loving you, then no one gets left behind. And all of a sudden, we're just a collection of hands that are linked together, and everybody's holding each other up. Everyone's supporting each other. And you know what we are? We are a body, where everyone and all their uniqueness is connected. Everyone is bound together, being what God intended for us to be, what God designed us to be. You see, the church, belonging to the church, it's two pillars. It's purpose and it's love. God wants you to know his purpose, his design for your life. And it starts small. It starts connected into the body. And God wants you to know love. He wants you to know how much he loves you. But he wants everyone else to know how much he loves them too when you love them back. Purpose and love. If you look at your life and you can honestly say, you know what, Chris, I don't think that I really need any more purpose and love. I think I'm pretty clear on my purpose and I just have all the love that I really think I need. Then maybe church isn't for you. But I can tell you this, the idea that you don't need more purpose and more love in your life is crazy, because God designed us for those things. He designed you for those things. And some of you are like, well, Chris, you know, love, I experience love in my family. You know, that's what I've got family for. And I've got lots of relationships, and I don't know why I need church. I don't know why I need all these people here at Compass to experience the love that you're talking about, because I get it at work. I get it at home. I have my friends and my family, and that's all I need. God designed you to be part of a body with other people, unique gifts, unique talents, unique loves, and unique abilities. And this morning, God wants you to step over the line and say, I am all in. I'm committed. I'm going to do this. And so this morning, the question at the end of this, is that, are you willing to explore and understand and discover God's purpose for your life? Are you willing to do that by saying, you know what? I'm going to serve. I'm going to connect. I'm going to hand out bulletins. I'm going to change diapers. I'm going to work in food. I'm going to get in the band. I'm going to discover God's purpose and his direction for me right now, because I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of not knowing. And the second question is this. Do you need love? Is love something that you don't experience? Is it something that you don't know? When we worked in youth ministry, we worked with teenagers for a while. And one of the things, one of the guiding principles that we would remind ourselves of and tell ourselves was this, is that there are going to be kids in our youth ministry. One of the things that Terry reminds herself of in our kids ministry, in our nursery with those babies, is this, is that we may be the only person who tells those kids that we love them in their life. They may not know it at home. They may not know it at school. They may never know the experience of someone putting their hands around them and saying, you're special. I love you. But that's what the church is all about. That's what we are all about. Opening our arms, inviting people in, saying, I love you and God loves you. How will they know that we're followers of Christ? They're going to know it by our love. And this morning, maybe love is a challenge for you. Maybe you need love. Maybe it's something you haven't experienced. Maybe you're sitting in your seat and you're like, you know what, Chris? I'm looking at myself and I'll be quiet. I'm kind of a jerk. I have not loved people the way that I expect people to love me. And this morning, God's given you opportunity to say, you know what? I'm going to make my life about the things that the church is supposed to be about, because I am part of the church. It's about serving, discovering purpose, and it's about love. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. And I thank you, God, that you are exposing to us the purpose for the church and why it exists and why you designed it the way you did. And how special it is to you. And so, Lord, I, I pray this, God. First, I pray for every single person in this room, Father. I pray that you would open their eyes and open their hearts to help them begin to discover the purpose that you've designed them for. Lord, that you show them opportunities where they can begin to connect in using the giftings and the talents that you made for them. God, that they can begin to be the pumpkin that you designed for them to be in the body that you brought them into. Jesus, that you would connect them in such a powerful way that the purpose that you've created them for, God, that that horizon would begin to open up to them. And as they follow you, they would discover fulfillment. They would discover contentment. And they would discover purpose. And Lord, beyond that, I pray for each and every single one of us, God, that you would make us people of love. Lord, that every single person in this room, we would not just be someone who pretends to love others, who puts on a smiley face or puts on a face of hospitality one day a week because we know we're supposed to, but that we would be people who are passionately and personally invested in the people around us, that we genuinely love them, that we genuinely take them in our arms, that we take them by the hand, God, and walk with them through life, because that's the body you want us to be. That's the church that you want us to be. And God, when that happens, nobody's left behind. I pray for those people who are in this room right now, God, who may have felt abandoned or left behind by the church. I pray for those who are carrying hurts that have come from church life. I pray for those whose conceptions or understanding of what church is supposed to be is off. And I ask, God, more than anything, that you would bring healing, that you would bring correction, God. And I pray that you would show them that there is an open door in this place to connect with you and to connect with your people, your body, your church. Because they belong. They belong. Jesus, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your purpose. And we know you're going to continue to reveal it to us in powerful ways. God, we love you. And we thank you for your church. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.